places, Madrid, Rio de Janeiro, Tokyo, or Chicago, the International Olympic Committee announcing the finalists today. I'm Lori London, Fox News Radio.
Welcome to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660, your place for biblically informed conversation on issues that matter. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church located at 2020 Gibshoals Road in Greer and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. To find out more about our ministry and how you can make a tax-deductible donation, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. If you have a question or a comment on today's topic, call 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Now, here are the hosts of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome in to this Wednesday, June 4th edition of Calling for Truth. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. And let me say, if you're a regular reader of our blog out on sermonaudio.com or on callingfortruth.org, then you know that we've been participating in the 2008 Puritan Reading Challenge issued by internet blogger, and now I think assistant pastor Timmy Brister on his blog, Provocations and Pantings. You can, easier way to find that is just to go to timmybrister.com. Each month, I invite Timmy to come onto the broadcast here and join me on the broadcast to discuss the current book that is under consideration in the 2008 Puritan Reading Challenge. I not only invite Timmy to do this, but any of his readers out on his blog as well, any of those that are participating in the challenge, are certainly welcome to call in and give their thoughts and considerations about this book. On the broadcast today, we're going to turn our attention to a book by John Bunyan, and that's a book called Come and Welcome to Jesus Christ, written by that great Bedford Tinker, I think as he was called, in prison for 12 years or so. Just a remarkable story. But in this particular book, John Bunyan, he exegetes John chapter 6 and verse 37. And let me quote that for you. It says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out." I'm sure you're familiar with that. In this book, let me read a little bit of a section that was written by the publisher. They say this, "Of all of John Bunyan's writings, this book most fully expresses his delight and joy in the free and gracious welcome given to sinners by Jesus Christ. Bunyan not only explains the meaning of the terms used in the text, but he also labors to remove the doubts and the difficulties of sinners and backsliders in their approach to Christ. This work could be said to have given rise indirectly to the modern missionary movement, since it strongly influenced Andrew Fuller, and the first secretary of the Pioneering Baptist Missionary Society, and helped him to set his denomination free from the grip of hyper-Calvinism. It is a Christian classic that deserves a wide modern readership." And that's, of course, written by the publisher as well. And that publisher is the Banner of Truth Trust. Well, with that as a little bit of a warm-up, a little bit of an introduction into this book, let me go ahead and bring Timmy Brister into the conversation today. Timmy, great to have you on the Calling for Truth radio program again.
Well, thanks. It's great to be with you again.
Timmy, tell us a little bit about yourself, and I understand a pretty big change has just taken place now that you're out of school. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're doing now?
Yes, we have been in a season of transitioning. We moved from Louisville, Kentucky, and spent a couple weeks in Alabama with some family for the month of May, and just as of last week, we made the trek down to Cape Coral, Florida, and where we are establishing a residence and hopefully the plan of life here, giving ourselves to God's people in Grace Baptist Church, where I'll be serving as an associate pastor and being responsible for pastoral responsibilities of teaching and preaching, and that sort of thing. And our pastor is Tom Askell, who I think you've had on here before.
Yes,
talking
true.
About regenerative church membership.
That's right. Number of times talking to Tom about the conference that they held up in North Carolina this past year, and then also more recently about the issues, as you were just mentioning about regenerate church membership. I wanted to ask you just a little bit about that, because I know that you blogged about that a little bit out on your website and had a number of people comment on it, I think, as well. I wanted to ask you a couple of things. One was, let's talk briefly about the fact that Rick Warren actually commented on Tom Askell's blog. Was that proven to be legitimate?
Well, from all indications that I know, and from my conversations with Tom, that that indeed was accurate. He did sign on to it, and that's not just from verification online, but also offline as well.
Well,
he did.
That's great.
For better or for worse, some people thought it was a terrible thing. It was going to be a slide against Tom's resolution, but others found it encouraging.
Right. And let me read just a little bit of that. I think people may find that interesting. He says this: "Hi, Tom. I have been personally urging the adoption of a resolution on membership like yours for over 20 years. I hope it passes. The restoration of the integrity of membership is an absolute foundation to the spiritual health of a congregation. Saddleback membership class, our covenant and our accountability to it, are the secrets behind our members' willingness to sacrifice to reach people for Christ. Imagine a church that went 15 years without a building, setting up and tearing down a church for 10,000 people at a time in the 90s, week after week, regardless of weather. The way you bring members in is the level of commitment they will live up to." And so he goes on in this quote that he, or this post that he does out on Tom Askell's blog, to tell a little bit about his church. And I think some of the people that commented on his comments were a little bit put off by that. You know, they thought that he was, tooting his horn here a little bit too much about, the glories of Saddleback and these types of things. But he does mention in this post, like you pointed out, that, he does mention that he is in agreement with the resolution, and that he does feel that the idea of having a regenerate church membership is important. So I guess there's pros and cons to this, huh?
Yeah, I think so. One of the things that intrigued me was John Hammett, who is a professor at Southeastern Seminary, recently wrote a book on Baptist ecclesiology. And in his two chapters where he talks about regenerate church membership, he makes a call for recovering a covenantal understanding of church membership, focusing on church covenants.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the second chapter, he gives some recommendations. One of them was Capitol Hill Baptist Church's church covenant, and another one was Saddleback Community Church, which is where Rick Warren pastors. And so as a recommendation for recovering a sense of a covenantal responsibility and accountability among the members and to the church. And so, John Hammond obviously sees something within Saddleback that Rick Warren here is talking about,
right,
and that's a sense of commitment and covenantal relationship among the members of the church to one another and to their leadership as well.
And I would think that, or just for our listeners' sake, I should mention, this is what I was going to say, that the Capitol Hill Baptist, of course, is where Mark Dever is the pastor, the senior pastor, correct?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so people would know his name as well in the ministry of Nine Marks as well. So you've blogged about this quite a bit out on your website here, out in your blog, at Provocations and Pantings. And what's the feedback been from most people? Obviously, I guess if they're reading your blog, they know what to expect. They know that you're going to be for this resolution, of course. But do you think that any hearts are being turned? Do you think that the resolution has a good chance of passing?
Well, I think the issue is that there's three resolutions on the floor, and that more than likely one of them will get passed. We don't know which one's going to get passed, or if the language that Tom has been referring to is going to be included in that resolution or not.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing is important, and this is one thing I've tried to do on my website, is that yes, the conversation needs to continue whether it gets passed or not. And one of the reasons I have included excerpts of my research on the website is not merely to make an argument for regenerate church membership, but to put resources in the hands of pastors and leaders who are seeking to actually implement this in their church.
Mm.
And so I've received emails, I've received phone calls from people who are saying, you know, please continue the research, please continue the excerpts, because it's helping us get a better idea of where we've been, where we're going, and how to implement this in our church. And so ultimately the grassroots effort is to see this happen,
mm-hmm.
being taught what is biblical church membership, what is regenerate church membership, and then how to actually go about implementing that in a church where maybe for decades, if not longer, it has not been done. So.
Mm. Well, Timmy, that music means that we got to head to our first break. And when we come back from the break, I want to turn the corner a little bit, and we're going to turn our attention to John Bunyan's book, Come and Welcome to Jesus Christ. Let me say to our listeners that you've done an excellent job out on your website pulling together a book outline that they can look through. Very good job. 15 pages of outline of this book, so it should be easy for us to discuss it today on the broadcast, and we'll do that in just a couple minutes. Stay tuned.
Thanks for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. For more information about our ministry and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org. Christian Talk 660 is proud to offer you and your family the fair and balanced journalism that you've come to love and trust from Fox News Channel, now on your radio. Fox News Radio is on the air and is heard loud and clear throughout the Carolinas, Georgia, and Tennessee, right here on Christian Talk 660. For the latest headlines and breaking news from around the world, keep your radio tuned to Fox News Radio, here on Christian Talk 660.
God has really blessed our ministry at Strides. Hi, this is Dr. Everett. 30 local children depend on our scholarships to solve learning problems, but funds are low, so we've had to turn some away. Will you sponsor a child? Just $65 can bring a child up one grade level. If God lays it on your heart to help a child, call 246-9898. Our website is www.stridestutor.org. Strides is a nonprofit organization.
Jane, we deal with a lot of issues in counseling.
We do, but the wonderful thing is that God's Word has the answers.
Well, that's right. The Bible does say that in it we've been given everything we need for life and godliness.
And that's why our commitment at the Providence Center for Biblical Counseling is to give God's counsel to God's people, whether you suffer from depression, anxiety, anger, or anything else.
The Providence Center for Biblical Counseling. Call us for encouragement and direction from God's Word at 864-420-2688.
When choosing auto insurance coverage, it's important to first consider choosing an auto insurance agency. Hi, I'm Isaac Feynman, and I chose Taylor's Insurance Agency. As independent agents, Taylor's shops from several of the leading insurance companies to find the best coverage that fits your needs. Right now, receive a $5 gift card just for stopping by or calling for a free quote. Get set up with a low down payment and a great monthly payment plan. Taylor's Insurance Agency, 2854B Wade Hampton Boulevard. Call 609-5550, 609-5550.
Welcome back to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. We appreciate you tuning in today. For more information about our ministry, the Biblical Counseling Center, and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
Hey, welcome back into the second segment of the Calling for Truth radio program today. Let me give you the phone number, because you are certainly invited to call. We're going to be discussing Come and Welcome to Jesus Christ, which is John Bunyan's exegesis on a text of Scripture out of John chapter 6 and in verse 37. And that text says, "All that the Father giveth unto me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out." And so we're going to be talking about salvation and how a person comes to salvation, and about the Father giving these people to the Lord Jesus Christ in just a second with our special guest, Timmy Brister. I wanted to, let me give you that number first, 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. I wanted to do just a couple things housekeeping-wise here for just a few minutes. One, I wanted to thank the folks out at EHE. I think that was the Easley Home Educators. I had the opportunity to speak at their commencement service last week and had a wonderful time, met a number of people that listen to the broadcast on a regular basis. I hope we can do something more with the homeschool group there in the future, maybe have some of them on the broadcast or have them ready to ask questions of some homeschool-friendly guests that we have on the program periodically. But I just had a wonderful time speaking out there and really enjoyed. About 20 students graduated, and probably about 300 people were at the commencement service there. So we had a wonderful time opening up the Word of God together and talking about redeeming the time and how important that is, not only for the students that are graduating, but for all of us as well. And I also want to mention that tomorrow's broadcast, I want to tell you I'm going to have David Wells is going to be with me on the broadcast tomorrow. And we're going to be talking about his book, The Courage to Be Protestant, Truth Lovers, Marketeers, and Emergence in the Modern or Postmodern World. Let me read from Publishers Weekly. It says this, Wells urges the church to return to classic spirituality and not to allow the message of that spirituality to be diminished by the cultural habits of the modern world. This argument is one that has recurred throughout history, but Wells makes it in plain language, accompanied by a straightforward critique of the ways in which he believes secular cultures' notions of virtue fall short of Christianity's. And so we'll be talking about that subject on tomorrow's broadcast with author and well-known conference speaker David Wells will be our special guest on the program. Let's go back to our discussion for today. Timmy Brister's on the line with me. Timmy, let's wade right into this book because there's a ton of wonderful content that we can discuss. Let's start right in the very beginning, the explanation of the text and the use of the word all that is in the text before us. Bunyan talks a lot about the fact that this word all cannot mean all in the largest sense. Expound upon that, if you would, a little bit as to what he's talking about.
Right. One of the arguments that are made against the understanding of all is that there should be a plain little understanding of the word all. But if you look in Scripture, you're going to realize that if that were the case, then it would be arguing more for our universalism, mm-hmm. meaning that all people who have ever lived will be saved. Mm-hmm. But Bunyan argues that, well, this cannot be so, because in all the men, just all the things in the world must be saved. This is one of his first points.
Mm-hmm.
But it cannot be this way, because it says that all that the Father has given him, which is which he calls a lump out of the whole. Mm-hmm. And so what he's referring to is that those whom the Father has given him, those are indeed all. But that doesn't refer to all in the sense all human beings and all people mm-hmm. who have ever lived.
So we're talking about, in one sense, certainly everybody belongs to Christ in one sense, if we were to take all in that way. But in this particular context, he is talking about all in the sense of the elect, of the church, of the specific ones that are given to the Lord Jesus Christ, all that will be saved throughout the ages, from all the races, from all the nations of the world. That's the all that he is specifically talking about in this text.
Yes, he refers to them, and parenthetically, to the chosen, mm-hmm. the sheep, children of promise, and so on. You know, he says that the word all, you know, as well as other words, and this is an important hermeneutic. He tries to explain this in his book. They cannot be taken in whatever fancies or whatever opinions that we might have,
mm-hmm.
but we must develop our understanding of the words through the context of the Scripture. And so he says that we must restrict ourselves to the true purpose of the text and how we should understand those words. And here he's talking about all that the Father has given him,
mm-hmm.
which is mean all that God has before time chosen to bring to his Son, to give to his Son in the covenant. that he has made, which the Puritans call the covenant of redemption.
Mm-hmm. He was. He also makes that point about that I alluded to a little bit there, that there's certainly a sense when we talk about all that, you know, all belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the creator. He rules over all. And so there's a sense that all men are given to him. But if we look at it in that sense, we're saying that some of those ones that are given to him to be judged, to be, as Bunyan puts it here in the book, quoting from a verse of scripture, to be dashed in pieces by him, to be ruled with a rod of iron. And so in that sense, we can certainly look at all men being given to Christ, but not when we're talking about salvation, not when we're dealing with the all being that their meaning being synonymous with that all that are given to him are going to be saved. Is that a correct, summation of what he says there?
Yeah, I think that's correct. I mean, if you look at Orthodox Christian faith from the beginning, there is a limitation that's there. I mean, we all understand that there is a place called hell, and there will be those who go there.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why is it that some who believe and some who don't believe? Why is it that some who, when they hear the gospel being preached, that the hearts are quickened, their minds are open, their ears are attentive, and that they respond to the gospel call, and that there are those who don't?
Mm-hmm.
And Bunyan would say, is all that has been given to the Son will hear. They will believe. They shall come, and they will believe, and they will come in faith and repentance, because these are promises granted. The provisions are provided in the promise that God is going to give these to them, that they will repent, they will believe, and they will turn to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Others will say, well, the reason why they don't come is because, well, they just don't have enough faith.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's their wills. And what you're going to see later on in the book is the shall come, that absolute promise, that absolute determination of Christ will overcome any obstinate will and any obstacle that will be in his place from bringing him to himself.
Well put. And this opens up the door to many, many theological discussions. The eternal decree of God, as you mentioned there, the covenant of redemption, those given to Christ that he talks about, especially like in John chapter 17 in his prayer to the Father. We're talking around the subject of election. So all of these subjects are built in to this opening word here, you know, that all that Bunyan then expounds in this book. Moving on from there, he goes into the person that is doing the giving, and he focuses on the fact that the text says, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. Well, he's focusing specifically then on the first person of the Trinity, focusing on, you know, the Father. Speak a little bit about that and what Bunyan has to say along that line.
Yeah, well, what Bunyan comes from and what the Puritans were so great at is they had a very Trinitarian understanding of the gospel and of the Christian faith. And just recently I've been studying myself in my personal devotion about just how rich, you know, one's understanding of the gospel can be, can go deeper when you have an understanding of that this is something that God himself, God the Father, has been planning, God the Son has accomplished, God the Spirit who has been applying this gospel to keep us and to preserve us. And what Bunyan is showing here is that the Father has given this to the Son, and that this is something that is an act of the past, and this is what he refers to in the meaning of what it means to give, and that he will bring them, John 6:44, that the Father will bring them to Christ at the point of their conversion.
I mentioned, started to list some of the doctrines there. Certainly one was irresistible grace as well. We had spoken to Rick Phillips, was here in the studio with me a couple weeks ago, and looking over his book on the doctrines of grace and that doctrine of the irresistible grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Is certainly a thought that comes into play here, a doctrine that comes into play when we're considering this verse that Bunyan is expounding. You know, I think you bring out a good point here, and Bunyan brings out a good point, obviously, in his exegesis here, is I find that in salvation today, you know, there's very little thought given to the Father. There is very little thought given to the fact that of how often it speaks about him sending the Son. you know, there is a lot of attention, of course, on the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we study the Lord Jesus Christ in Christology, we find that he places the attention on the Father, and he constantly is saying that the Father has sent me throughout the Gospels and making that point. But I don't think that we really focus on that much these days. You mentioned that the Puritans were good at bringing that out as well.
Right. I mean, the terminology that Jesus has defined himself most often in the Gospels is the one whom the Father has sent.
Mm-hmm.
39 times alone in the Gospel of John, and I think close to 60 times altogether in the four Gospels, he refers to himself as the one whom the Father has sent. So he has a clear understanding of his relationship with the Father, what the Father wants from him.
Mm-hmm.
He says, what I say, I don't say on my own authority, but what the Father has me to say and speak, that's what I speak. The charge I have to lay down my life and take it up again, this is a charge I have received from my Father. The Father has granted to me all that will come to me. The Father has set his seal upon me. And so you see Jesus referring to the Father time and again, you know, in regards to his earthly mission, and has an understanding that this is something that he has received as a divine imperative, as a divine call, and that's the very thing that is consuming his life. It's so he's got him so preoccupied that he almost cannot refer to himself without referring to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout his journey. So
that's well put, and I want to drill down a little bit more on that when we come back from the break, and then also move on to some of the other words in this text. We're talking about come and welcome to Jesus Christ, an exegesis of John chapter 6 and verse 37 with Timmy Brister today. This is John Bunyan has done an excellent work of drilling down and garnering from this text just the truth that is there from us from the Lord.
You're listening to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. You can visit our website at callingfortruth.org, where you will find archives of past shows, Dr. Dean's crosswalk commentary, audio sermons, and other helpful resources at callingfortruth.org.
Have you heard? Christian Talk 660 has something for you on Saturdays. Start your afternoon off with Richard Land Live at 12 noon. And then at 3, it's the best of Janet Parshall's America. As always, you'll enjoy the latest from Fox News Radio each hour. Find out more about Richard Land and Janet Parshall when you log on to ChristianTalk660.com. Conservative Christian Talk Radio at its best. Saturday afternoons from 12 to 5 on Christian Talk 660.
In 1994, Southern Stone began as the first manufactured stone installer in the upstate. A family-owned business, now with two generations involved, their team has over 55 years of experience serving the Carolinas with both natural and manufactured stone, as well as many other related products and services. Allow Southern Stone to assist you in making your dream home a reality. Call toll-free 1-800-288-5587. That's 800-288-5587.
It's been said, as the church goes, so goes the culture. If we want to see real change in our world, the church must be awakened and equipped to make a difference. This is Paul Dean with Calling for Truth. The things you've heard us talk about on the radio can be brought to your church. A seminar dealing with theology, cultural engagement, Christian worldview, biblical counseling, or even church reform might be the complement to your ministry you've been praying for. Call us to set something up at 420-2688.
When choosing auto insurance coverage, it's important to first consider choosing an auto insurance agency. Hi, I'm Isaac Feynman, and I chose Taylor's Insurance Agency. As independent agents, Taylor's shops from several of the leading insurance companies to find the best coverage that fits your needs. Right now, receive a $5 gift card just for stopping by or calling for a free quote. Get set up with a lowdown payment and a great monthly payment plan. Taylor's Insurance Agency, 2854B Wade Hampton Boulevard. Call 609-5550, 609-5550.
You're listening to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church located at 2020 Gibshoals Road in Greer and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. To find out more about our ministry, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. If you have a question or a comment on today's topic,
please call 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Now here are the host of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Okay, we're in the second half of the Calling for Truth radio program today. We're talking about Come and Welcome to Jesus Christ, a Puritan paperback written by John Bunyan, of course, dealing with salvation, dealing with people coming to salvation in Jesus Christ. An exposition, really, of John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. We're going to return right away to our conversation here with Timmy Brister. We were going through the words of the text as Bunyan expounds them in his great little book. Timmy, just before the break, we were talking about, you know, the Father and how important and Christ emphasizes the Father by being sent by the Father and constantly referring to the Father in his work. We noted that today probably that is not really referred to as much as it should be. I think it needs to be, because even in understanding the atonement and understanding so many aspects of our salvation, it is important to understand that Christ makes us righteous by applying his, or imputing his righteousness to us. He pays the price for our sins upon Calvary, his passive and active obedience. But all of this is done in order to make us acceptable to the Father. And that seems to be just an overlooked portion of a lot of the gospel that we hear today. He goes on in this text, though, to talk about the word giveth. And you mentioned about giveth being that the Father gives him a portion of the lump, a portion of the whole, of the all that is spoken about. But in saying that he giveth them, it takes our mind, or it's designed to take our minds back all the way to eternity past, before the world was, that there was an arrangement, a covenant, if you will, between the Father and the Son. And in that covenant, God the Father gave a certain group of people, the saved, the elect, the church, the sheep, to the Son in eternity past. Is that what Bunyan has in mind when he exegetes this word, giveth?
Oh, so I think what's important, too, when we refer to the Father is that this is not something that, you know, should cause us to be too alarmed with, because we think about John 10, when we're talking about Christ and Christ being a good shepherd and we being his sheep. Mm-hmm. We hear that terminology, and we hear that when we talk about when Jesus says, no one will snatch them out of my hands, and then he says, but and the sheep are in my Father's hands, and no one will snatch them out of his hands. Mm-hmm. These are made to be encouragements for those of us who are coming to Christ,
yes,
who have come in repentance and faith, knowing that if we have come to Christ, it is so that we would have know that before we had come to Christ, it was because the Father had given to the Son,
mm-hmm,
these people who would believe. And that not only has he given them to us, but he's going to keep us because he holds us in his hands.
Mm-hmm.
So when Christians begin to doubt, when Christians begin to struggle, have I come to Christ? Have I come to Christ? Have I repented of my sin? Am I believing in him? You know, the doubts and fears, or am I one of the elect? We should look back and say, the Father has given them to his Son,
mm-hmm,
and the Son has kept the promise. Not one of them will be taken away. He should not lose one that the Father has given him. No one will snatch them out of his hand. And so that these should be great encouragements to us in our, mm-hmm, faith, knowing that this is not something that is by our own, you know, contrivances. This is not our own doing. This is not our own working. This, mm-hmm, is the work that the Father and the Son and the Spirit have perfectly for all time have accomplished for his people.
Mm.
That should give us a cause for perseverance as well as a cause for encouragement as well.
Oh, yes, and assurance. You know, you pointed out well, you know, the introspection that takes place when doubts arise in the believer's heart. You know, most of the time the doubts arise because he looks to himself. And as you were articulating there, you know, did I pray the prayer correctly? Was I as sincere as I should have been? Did I repent to the level of repentance that was worthy of now being accepted by God? And of course, the answer to all of those things is no, you did not. And you will always find yourself lacking in each and every one of those things. And so if you look to your response to the gospel as being the place where you find your assurance, you're going to find yourself lacking. Assurance comes not from looking at ourselves and how we responded, but from looking at how Christ responded to the mission and the commission that was given to him by the Father. He has done the work perfectly. We see three times throughout the gospel that the Father speaks from heaven to the Son, and he says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Beginning of his ministry, in the middle of his ministry, then at the cross. So we find the Father putting his stamp of approval that Christ has done all that was necessary to pay the price for our sins. And of course, the ultimate being the raising of the dead of the Lord Jesus Christ, his ultimate stamp of approval that he has done everything that was necessary to pay the price for every single sin that has been attributed to us, and therefore we are free in Christ. And that's why, you know, you hear people speak about having a relationship with God so glibly today, apart from Jesus Christ. Listen, apart from Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. He is the only one that makes us acceptable to the Father. Isn't that so true? And isn't that so encouraging when you read this in Bunyan's work?
Mm-hmm. And he mentions this. He talks about Christ as the one who is able to save as well as able to cast out. And he refers to Christ being able to save is because he's the only one who's fit to do that. He's the only one fit to be authorized by this blessed work by the Father before the world began to be our mediator.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes and really goes to a biblical redemptive historical approach to this. He says that he was promised to our first parents that he should in the fullness of time bruise the serpent's head. He said Moses gave testimony of him by the types and shadows and bloody sacrifices that he commanded from the mouth of God to be in use for the support of his people's faith until the time of Reformation, which was the time of the death of Jesus.
Mm.
And he says, at the time of his birth, it was testified of him by the angel that he should save his people from their sins. It is testified of him in the days of his flesh that he had power on earth to forgive sins. And he just goes on and on and on. And he says, he came down from heaven to be Savior. He was anointed on earth to be Savior. He did the works of the Savior, fulfilling the law, becoming the end of it for righteousness. He laid down his life as a Savior, giving himself as a ransom for many. He abolished death, destroyed hell, put away sin, got the keys of hell and death, is ascended into heaven, is therefore accepted of God and bidden to sit at the right hand of God as Savior. And all this because his sacrifices for sins pleased God, like you said.
Amen.
So he alone has the power to save and no one else.
Amen. You know, it's so these pseudo-saviors that come up periodically, you know, these false Christs and false teachers, you know, they come saying, well, there's another way, you know, that there's some that even claim to be Christ themselves, you know, and the Savior of the world. And right away we can see the foolishness of it, the ridiculousness of it, because apart from the theanthropic person of Christ, apart from the God-man, apart from being able to please the Father in that perfect, impeccable manner that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did, there is no salvation. I was talking this past week in the congregation about the difference between homoousia and homoiousia, you know, speaking about whether Christ was of the same substance as the Father or of similar substance as the Father. And of course, there was a big theological discussion about that in the early church at one of the ecumenical councils. And of course, you know, if Christ is not the same substance with the Father, we're undone. I told the folks, you can close your Bible and go home. We have no salvation whatsoever. We are yet dead in our trespasses and our sins. The difference between him being the same substance and similar substance is the difference between heaven and hell. You can't be saved with a Savior who is only of a similar substance as the Father. He must be of the same substance. And so we focused on that quite a bit. And this book, you know, and of course all of the scriptures as we read them, but Bunyan does such a good job of just calling our attention to our Savior and the wonderfulness of our Savior and the compassion of our Savior and not casting out those that come unto him. Is that what you got most out of this book?
I think it's true. I mean, the one thing that continually got to me was before I read this book, and I read other books by Bunyan. One of them was called Reprobation Asserted. Mm. And the doctrine of reprobation is not something that you really want to go write a book about and try to, you know, I don't think it's going to sell in the bookstores today if you're going to put it out there. I mean, books on election won't sell, much, much less books on reprobation. But yet, Bunyan wrote a book on asserting reprobation. And here is the same Bunyan. Some would think, well, he must be schizophrenic, because here he is offering the free offer indiscriminately of the gospel to all who would believe. And wooing them and with great appeals and answering objections and giving reasons and uses for coming to Christ and believing that this is the God of all compassion and mercy and love, and he will accept you. He will accept you. There's times where he says, come, you red-blooded sinners, and come and Jesus will wash you and make you white as snow. I mean, the terminology is just so rich. And, you know, you listen to Bunyan talk, you have to be, think about it. Here is a man who has such a love for sinners and such a love for Christ. He just stands there. And let me just read this to you. Here's the quote. So let him be as red as blood. Let him be as red as crimson. Some men are blood-red sinners, crimson sinners, sinners of double A dipped and dipped again before they come to Jesus Christ. Mm. Are you who are reading these lines such a one? Speak out, man. Are you such a one? Are you now coming to Jesus Christ for the mercy of justification, that you might be made white in his blood and be covered with his righteousness? Fear not, for as much as this your coming demonstrates that you are one of the number of them that the Father has given to Christ, for he will in no wise cast out.
Mm.
And so you just see that time and again, Bunyan making these appeals to sinners. Are you one of these sinners? No matter how sinful you are, no matter how far you've backslid, no matter how deep in the sin that you've become entrenched, you come to Christ, he will accept you, and he will no wise cast you out. This is just a great word for all of us.
Oh, it is.
Having that type of heart for sinners today.
It definitely. You know, the publisher had said on the back that, you know, this helped to free the Baptist Missionary Society, and he said this, that it helped him to set his denomination free from the grip of hyper-Calvinism. Hey, I believe in Calvinism. I believe in the doctrines of grace, but certainly not hyper in the sense of not caring about the lost and not doing all that we can to offer the free gospel of Jesus Christ. And not only me, but I can speak for Timmy there and know him well. Spurgeon and others that were Calvinists as well. You know, doctrines of grace are wonderful things, but they can't be used to just sit back and let the world go to a godless eternity.
Thanks for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. For more information about our ministry and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
Roy Riegels made one of the most famous mistakes in football history. He picked up the ball and ran more than 60 yards in the wrong direction before he was tackled by his teammates. We all head in the wrong direction from time to time and need to be redirected. I'm Dennis Rainey, hoping you'll listen to Real Family Life, 90 seconds each day that will encourage you to run the right direction.
Listen to Real Family Life throughout the week, brought to you by Family Life Today, weekday mornings at 11:30 on Christian Talk 660.
Paul, anyone who knows you love pizza.
Isaac, I do indeed, and whenever I'm out at the Woodruff Road area, I go to Stevie B's. It's the all-you-can-eat pizza buffet. Now listen, this buffet goes all day long. They're open till 9 o'clock in the evening. They've got over 70 different kinds of pizza. 12 pizzas are out all the time. Listen, when you walk in, the folks are friendly. They'll make you a fresh pizza. They'll make you one at your request. I love it.
Stevie B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville.
God has really blessed our ministry at Strides. Hi, this is Dr. Everett. 30 local children depend on our scholarships to solve learning problems, but funds are low, so we've had to turn some away. Will you sponsor a child? Just $65 can bring a child up one grade level. If God lays it on your heart to help a child, call 246-9898. Our website is www.stridestutor.org. Strides is a nonprofit organization.
In 1994, Southern Stone began as the first manufactured stone installer in the upstate. A family-owned business now with two generations involved, their team has over 55 years of experience serving the Carolinas with both natural and manufactured stone, as well as many other related products and services. Allow Southern Stone to assist you in making your dream home a reality. Call toll-free 1-800-288-5587. That's 800-288-5587.
Welcome back to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. Providence Baptist Church and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship are dedicated to making disciples who make disciples. If you would like more information on our biblical counseling materials, log on to callingfortruth.org. Now here are the hosts of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the last segment of the Calling for Truth radio program today, which means you got about 10 minutes if you'd like to make a comment or a question about what we're talking about today. 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. We're talking about coming to and the welcome of the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation. And we've been making much of Christ because John Bunyan makes much of Christ in the book that we're discussing, and so he certainly makes it easy to do so. Now, just before the break, we were talking about one of the other sections of the book that deals with the Father and the purpose of the Father in giving a group of people called the elect, the church, the sheep, a number of different names for them in the Scripture, but giving them to the Son. But now we're going to switch here just very quickly in the remaining minutes that we have to look at what it is to actually come to Christ.